If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, where the writer starts to show that Jesus and the new covenant and Jesus' priesthood is far better than anything that had gone on before in the old covenant. It is the superiority of Christ and the new covenant that far surpasses anything previously. I don't think we realize this, but this teaching in the book of Hebrews was very radical for its time. I know that I upset my Sunday school class, for I bring up things that cause controversy. I get people upset. But I want you to know that that is the role model that the Bible sets forth. The writer here last week has said that the greater blessed the lesser. And we found out, guess what? Who was the greater than Abraham? Melchizedek. Man, those are dangerous words for their time. Because it was saying to his readership, many of which, or most of which, were Jewish, you know how great your daddy Abraham was? Jesus is incomparably greater. Well, today that's normal. We would think, what's the big deal? It was a very big deal. We saw last week when Jesus tried to preach that to his people, before Abraham was, I am. What did they want to do with him? See, this thinking is radical, but today we would consider, well, what's the big deal here? You understand, it took courage to preach when you're bringing in new revelation, when you're preaching, Jesus almost got himself, what? Stoned. So my Sunday school class, what do you want from me? If I say something, I challenge you, go to the Word of God or go look it up. Find out if I'm right. I am not insecure that way. You want an insecure preacher? You find out. Go challenge on what he's saying. And if he treats you horribly, that means that's a weak man. Look it up, what I say. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he had to miraculously slip out. Somehow God made him invisible with a cloak of invisibility and he walked away. This is radical thinking in the book of Hebrews. That someone would be greater than Moses. Or excuse me, Abraham. I want to show you, not only did Jesus get himself in trouble, but Paul got himself in trouble for the same thinking. And I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. And I'll show you why I don't think Paul put his name to this book. Because some of the people were still out to get him for what he preached. I want you to turn just to show you radical preaching and bad advice. The bad advice was, you know, Paul, your preaching upsets people. Let me give you some advice on how to solve, because you really upset people in your preaching. And by the way, my Sunday school class, this is always planned this way, so don't think I'm picking on anybody. This is just what I plan, because these things come to me when I'm researching. Turn to Acts chapter 21. Let me give you the background to this. This is just prior to the writing of the book of Hebrews. Paul has been on 3 missionary journeys. Paul has been preaching Jesus to Jewish synagogues. And what did they do to him? They stoned him. They threw him out. They beat him up. They put him in jail. His preaching caused a response. I don't think a preacher has really preached unless he's caused a response. Third missionary journey, God has told Paul, Paul, don't step foot in Jerusalem. But Paul was a stubborn little Jew. God said, don't you go. They were saying, Agabus, thus saith the Lord, stay out of Jerusalem. Why did Paul have to stay out of Jerusalem? Because he was preaching what the book of Hebrews preached. You don't know how dangerous this was. Today, you're Christians, you think, well, this is just normal thing. No, it wasn't. I want to show you what happened to Paul and his preaching, and to show you, you've got to think about Hebrews 7, how radically different this was at the time it was preached. And after these days, we, that's Luke, Paul, and his entourage, started at Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. Well, Lord, I'm ready to be imprisoned. You go to Jerusalem, Paul, you don't listen to me, and you will be imprisoned. But Paul didn't listen. That makes me feel better. Because I'm just as stubborn as he was. Some of the disciples from Caesarea also came with us, taking some people. And after we arrived in Jerusalem, the brethren, that is, those are mostly Jewish people, received us gladly. Now look what happens. And the following day, Paul went in with us to James. That's Jesus' brother. That's the one that John chapter 7 verse 3 said, even his own brothers weren't believing in him. Well, guess what convinced them? Jesus went to James and said, James, I'm the Messiah. Put your hands in my side. Look. And James became an absolute believer that Jesus, his brother, his oldest brother, was the Messiah. And after he greeted them, he began to relate one by one, verse 19 of chapter 21, because I can hear Cheryl saying, where are you, Pastor Dave? I heard that thought. And after he greeted them, Paul began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the This is not what the Jewish people expected. They thought this would be done among the Jewish people. And Paul begins to brag as a Jew, in a good sense. God saved all of these Gentiles. He included them as joint heirs, equal in this new covenant. It's marvelous! This is what shows you when you become a born-again believer, true born-again believer, the racial divide goes away. Here is Paul, who proclaimed himself prior to this a hater of the church, everything else. He learned to love Gentiles. Listen to me, beloved. We need to learn to love Palestinians. We need to learn to love these people that America is involved in war theater with. Because that's what the gospel does. Shame on the church when we see. There was one guy that came to our school and said, I have people in my congregation because I'm a missionary to Muslims. They don't want to have anything to do with me because they don't think the gospel should go to Muslims because of 9/11. Shame! Here is a man that hated Gentiles. Uncircumcised dogs, they called us. The Holy Spirit transformed that man. And he spent the rest of his days among uncircumcised dogs, getting them to know Jesus Christ. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God. And they said to him, well, praise the Lord, Paul. Now watch what happens next. See, you got to keep reading. Look at verse 20. Praise the Lord, Paul, beginning of verse 20, 20b. However, Paul, can we bring up your Sunday school teaching is upsetting people, Paul. Can we bring that up to you? Look at verse 20b. You see, brother, that is Paul. See, they said to him, you see, brother Paul, how many thousands there are among thee. Well, he's been glorifying God for what? For all the Gentiles that have been saved. Well, thank God, Paul, but come here, Paul. Come here. You see all the thousands of Jews that have become believers who believe. And Paul, you got a problem, boy. Your Sunday school teaching in the synagogues, look what they said. And they are all zealous for the... Don't offend anybody, Paul. You know, your preaching is offending people. Well, my Savior almost got himself stoned many times. And Paul got himself stoned many times. This is the role model I will pursue. That's great, Paul. All of those dirty, stinking dogs of Gentiles believed. But, Paul, thousands of your Jewish, zealous for the law people have been saved. And, Paul, you've offended them. Look what it says. And they have been told about you, and what have they heard? And it's all true. It's all true. Let me just tell you right now that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. You bet he did. When Paul's done in the book of Hebrews, he's going to call it shadow and dust. It's finished. Christ is the end of the law. Took great courage for a Jewish man to proclaim Jesus. And they got offended. You know, today, all of us are Gentiles. Yes? Huh? I don't know too many people in here that are Jewish. Maybe a quarter? Earl's here is full. Steve was here, he's full. But the rest of us are what? Dirty, stinking Gentile dogs from the perspective of Jewish teaching. Now, that's just a fact. But you see, when the gospel gets a hold of someone, whether you're Jew or Gentile, that work of God's Spirit in your life begins to transform you, and you see even Al-Qaeda. They need Jesus. You want to stop terrorism? One of those men gets saved, they'll probably kill him, but the transforming power of God. You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews, but they're told that you're teaching to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children. What did Paul say? It's not the external, but it's the internal circumcision. And by the way, it wasn't only Paul that said that. In Deuteronomy 30, if you look it up, Moses got so tired of hypocrisy that he says, you people need to circumcise your hearts. Not the external. You're upsetting them. Not to circumcise nor walk according to the customs. What then should we do, Paul? You got a problem.
They're going to hear it in your ear.
Now wait, they is not unsaved Jews. They are whom in context? The Jews that believed in Jesus that are what? Zealous for the law. You got to become a good Jew if you're going to follow the Jewish Messiah. Paul was telling them no. Circumcision is not external. It's dedication to God in your heart. A Jew is not one outside. It's internal. You read Romans. The Gentile who keeps the law naturally is more Jewish than a Jew who doesn't. They're all mad at you, Paul. They'll hear you come. Now, first, that's exactly true. That's what Paul preached. He preached Christ and Him crucified. And they were telling him, Paul, this is why I won't listen. Rein in your preaching, Paul. You're offending too many people. In Hebrews, it's very radical to say what this guy has said, that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham? I kill you! So he gets advice. Stop offending and do this in verse 23. Therefore, do this that we tell you. Listen to us. Listen to me. That's why I ain't going to listen to too much advice. Because this advice is worse than the problem. I want to just show you how radical the preaching of Hebrews was for its time. We have four men who are under a vow. These are Jewish men. Take them, purify yourself with them, pay their expenses so they can shave their heads, and we'll know that there is nothing to the things which you have been told about you, but that you yourself also walk orderly, keeping the... No, he didn't. When he was with the Jews, he would keep the law not to offend, but when he was with the Gentile, let's have a barbecued pork sandwich. Because he knew he was free in Christ. Romans 14. So here, quit preaching and offending and get under the law, Paul, so that you don't make enemies anymore. But concerning the Gentiles who have believed, we wrote, having decided that they should abstain from meat and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. And Paul listened. Bad, bad, bad. He didn't listen to the warnings not to go to Jerusalem. And now, James and the rest of this group give him bad advice. Don't offend in your preaching, Paul. So Paul, what am I going to do? Okay, I'll listen. Then Paul took the men, and the next day they purified themselves according to the Jewish ritual, went into the temple, giving notice of the completion of the days of purification until the, what? Sacrifice. These sacrifices are gone. They were gone when Jesus died and that split came at that curtain. Those sacrifices are gone. Paul is... See, apostles weren't perfect unless they wrote the Word of God. When they did, yes. But in their personal actions, he's getting the worst advice he could get. Jesus said and Paul said that the preaching of Jesus Christ will offend. Get used to it. Now you have to know something about the temple to get this. This temple was a Jewish temple. And by the way, when Israel says today this is a Jewish state, they mean the only ones that they want a part of the state are Jews. Suppose we said in our country this is a German state. And those of you who aren't Germans can't be citizens. That would go over. God broke these walls down, but They keep trying to put them back up because they're under the old covenant. Now, in the temple, there was the court of the women. This is going to make all the ladies mad. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, but I offend. And then, as a woman, you couldn't go beyond the court of the women. It was only men, Jewish men, that could get into the inner parts. So the outer parts, Jewish women could go to a certain extent. The inner parts, Jewish men. But what you better not bring into any of those two parts is whom? You see how the old covenant raised barriers? Under the old covenant of Moses, you either were a good Jew, or if you stepped near that temple, so Paul has four Jewish men in himself. They're kosher. But look what happens. When the 7 days were over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing Paul in the temple, how do you like that? They didn't have the internet. They didn't have America's Most Wanted. They didn't have the FBI's 10 top list. And they aren't Carol Jenks, who you should tell them, Carol Jenks, would you just please raise your hand there? Have Carol tell you what Homeland Security did to her. This is the look of terrorism. I fear for my country. I'll fly with you anytime, Carol Jenks. I'm not so sure about you, Steve, though. So what can I say? So some unbelieving Jews happened to see Paul from Asia. Now, where has Paul been preaching? Asia. This is Asia Minor. This is Turkey today. They know what he looks like. Janet Napolitano issued a all-points bulletin in Walmart. Watch for this guy. Watch for this guy. And look what happens. They lay hands on him. Well, what did he do? Crying out, "Men of Israel!" Notice that, ladies. Men of Israel. It's the testosterone. Ladies, you want to know why men are idiots? One word. Begins with a T. Testosterone. It's true. Do you know they've done studies? And many times the men that are in prison are the ones with aberrant, unusual levels of testosterone? That's a medical fact. It's testosterone. Men of Israel! This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people. Well, what was he doing? You know how he was preaching against the people? He was saying, "You Gentiles are included as chosen." But that was preaching, in their view, against the people. And against the law, and against this place. And he wasn't. He was saying how this Christ Jesus fulfilled what they were looking for. But I'll tell you something, there was something that really chapped their hide about Paul's preaching that made them absolutely furious and raised their testosterone levels. Look what it says. And besides, he even brought Greeks or Gentiles into the temple. He took some dirty, stinking Gentiles and he brought it into our... They were Jews. Who gave him this advice? James. This was bad advice. He was safer offending the people than he was doing what he was doing here, and a riot. And he has, because he brought Greeks into the temple, he what? That's why I never want to see a temple. Why? Because you are the temple, Peter says. God in the new covenant made you the spiritual temple. You are the temple. In the old covenant, the Jew wouldn't let the Gentile in. In the new covenant, Jesus said, listen to me, lady, John 4, men shall not worship at this place. They'll worship in spirit and in truth. Peter said, you are the temple. He's building us up, Paul says, into a holy temple unto the Lord. We Gentiles are equally joint heirs in the new covenant. He brought Greeks in. He's defiled this place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was what? You want to make them mad? Bring a Gentile into the temple. And the people rushed together, took hold of Paul, dragged him out of the temple. And immediately the doors were shut. Why? They didn't want anybody coming in there and defiling their temple. Shut the doors. Nobody gets in until we can make sure what? Under the old covenant, we have to make sure that you are a card-carrying Jew. You see, what I'm trying to teach you this morning is when we go to Hebrews, this is radical teaching. Today, we don't get how radical this was. The new covenant removed these distinctions. And this was caused, even Jewish Christians were offended by this, who were zealous for the law. So that Paul goes to prison for it. Now let's go back to Hebrews. Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, a never-ending priesthood. By the way, you now know that you're part of His priesthood. You are a kingdom of priests. Where in the Old Covenant, there was only one tribe and had to be Jewish and of Levi, now we all are. He is the great high priest. We serve with Him. In this case, verse 8, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them of whom it was witnessed that he lives on. And so to speak, and then he gets even more radical in verse 9. Look at this. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi. Now, what do you know about Levi? Levi would be one of the sons of Jacob. Levi wasn't yet born. Abraham's offspring would produce, Jacob would have 12 boys. What a dysfunctional family that was. You think you have a dysfunctional family? Look at Jacob's family. And one of the boys was Levi. And Paul writes here, I'll tell you how superior the Melchizedekian priesthood is. Bang! He's going to hit him. Even Levi, who was not yet born, had to pay tithes to Melchizedek and honor him as superior. What's he saying? The priesthood of Jesus Christ is superior to all the Levitical priests that have been. Do you realize this could get this man stoned? When he's writing this, most likely the temple still stood. And he was saying, Melchizedek's priesthood is absolutely far greater. Levi had to pay his respects through Abraham. Bang! Offensive preaching. Because he's telling them that their priesthood in Levi under the old covenant is nothing compared to Jesus and his Melchizedekian priesthood. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And then he gets, well, you think, okay, don't offend now, writer to the book of Hebrews. Stop that. Again, I know I'm not picking on anybody. I just want you to know that I have a pattern for where I get all this picking on stuff. Look what it says now in verse 11. He then gets it even more radical. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, now what does that mean? It means that you, by being in the Jewish ritual, come up to the priest, offer your offerings. If you could be spiritually perfected through that, you can't, is what he's saying. Now he's only said that Levi was inferior, but now he's saying Levi couldn't offer perfection. You mean to tell me all these hundreds of years we've been going to the temple and there's been no perfection? Yes. Whew. This is going to get this writer stoned. And I don't mean with illicit narcotic substances. I mean with rocks. Now, if perfection, spiritual perfection, was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not to be designated according to the order of Aaron? You realize he just told that group of Jews that were zealous for the law in Acts, that believed in Jesus, he's now telling them all of that couldn't perfect them. The Levitical priests were nothing compared to Jesus. This is what he's saying. And there had to be another priesthood superior. Jesus' priesthood. And look what he says in verse 12. This really is the real coup de grace for offensive preaching. When you're preaching, remember now, these were Jewish believers he's writing to. Here it is. For when the priesthood is changed, you mean to tell me those Levitical priests, those sons of Aaron, are no longer really holding any office? That's exactly right. They're out of work. They need to collect unemployment. When the priesthood is changed, a change of law is necessary. The old covenant, including the Ten Commandments, is gone. Now, wait a second, Pastor Dave. Do you mean to tell me? Well, I said the Ten Commandments. God's morality doesn't change. Stealing is still wrong. Taking God's name in vain. But the Ten Commandments in that Mosaic covenant, the whole thing as a whole is gone. And as Paul will say elsewhere, you know what our law is today? The law of Christ, which is the law of love. And love is the fulfilling of the law. So here's what you do now. You want 613 commandments? I like what the Jewish people said. Not even us, we couldn't even keep it. Here's the simple rule you ask. Everything that you do, what would love do? What would love do? Because theology's not complicated. Let men get into them and they'll write 12 volumes of theology. You're in law to Jesus Christ. The simple fact is, what would love do? Love is the fulfilling of the law. So just ask yourself this. When Pastor Dave gets you all upset, what would love do? Love would ignore him. Somebody upsets you, it's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Fellow Christian says something. That's why Paul said, forbearing one another in love. Forget it. That's why I don't like, here we go, some groups that are very fundamentalistic because they don't have love. They don't forbear. There are groups of Christians go around called secondary separationists. They won't associate with you if you associate with someone that they don't like. That's nuts! Religious people are... This is what I tell my students. Religious people are nuts. Would you... Take a look at some Christians you see. Would you want to be like some of these Christians? I had grandparents that the more miserable they were in their Christian life, the more they felt that they were spiritual. On my mother's side, I'll get in trouble this morning. They called themselves holiness people. Isn't that special? Even though Paul said our righteousness is what? Only he didn't use the word filthy. Ladies, he used menstruating rags. That means, you know, there was nothing more defiling than blood to a Jewish person, and that's what he was using, the worst type of filthiness. But have you ever looked at some Christians? Oh, no, we can't do that. That's the, oh, no, you know. I had a kid come into my office at the school. My Greek class is known as Gladiator Greek. And you will suffer in the arena in Gladiator Greek. And he says, I want to talk to you. He had never had me as a professor before. He says, I want to talk to you. I said, come into my office. I have swords and cuirasses and helmets. Drives the dean crazy. And he says, I don't think I can take a class from a professor who attends movies. Justify yourself to me about this. Is what the kid said. Do you know what I did? I threw him out of my office. That's what I'll do with all those kind of fundamentalists. Why would you want to be a Christian if it's all can't do this, can't do that? There are many things as a Christian you can do. If you can't have fun as a Christian, come on now. Christ is the end of the... These are the kind of nuts. By the way, who was trying to stone Jesus? Religious people. Religious people are... Who was trying to stone Paul? Religious people. Always it's the religious people that are trying to what? That's not a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Paul even compares Christians to a fragrance flower. How do we smell to non-Christians? We stink. I used to go in Alabama with these people would take us out after lunch, and we'd go to the restaurant, and after morning service, they would treat those precious, precious waitresses like they were slaves. I was embarrassed. We represent Jesus. You know, we have a bad reputation as religious people, and some of it, we earn it. Remember that? You know, what's his name? He's dead now. They earn it. Well, we earn that kind of a reputation when we're that foolish. Forgive me for my rant and rave, but it's true. Religious people are nuts. We should be attracted. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. You know what he meant by that? He meant that your life should be such an example of Jesus in love that people will be attracted to you. Now, here's how fundamentalists do that. They now say, well, take your flashlight and shine it on everybody's life and see what's going on in their life. That's not what it means. It means that you are to shine and attract people. And then Jesus said, after that, you are the salt of the earth. And then I have these crazy religious people. Well, we're the preservative, and we're going to preserve, like the church lady. We're going to preserve it. You know what Jesus meant by that? Let me tell you something. There's one aisle that I can't go down. And I call it the sodium aisle. It's the chips, the potato chips, the pretzels, the Cheetos. Let me tell you something. You know what would happen to that aisle? If you went down that aisle and then none of it had any salt, it would be like the dietetic aisle. Do you ever notice that the dietetic aisle is just this little aisle here? And you got this huge, filled with salt. Listen, salt is a flavor enhancer. Christians are to be the salt of the world. We're to let people know that Christianity and being a Christian tastes good. Remember the Campbell's Soup commercial? Represent Jesus well. If they don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter what lifestyle they're in, they're lost. Judgment begins where in the Bible? Let those people alone. Paul was preaching radically here. He was preaching that the priesthood is changed. The law couldn't perfect. Only God's Holy Spirit and His Word can perfect through the new birth. For when the priesthood is changed, there is of necessity a change in the law. Listen to me now. Those of you who are Old Testament Christians that love to stone people, stoning is Old Covenant. You know what it says now in the New Covenant? We beg people to come to Jesus. If this is why the church is not effective, because they're not reading the Word of God. They're doing everything but. Let me read this book from this preacher. Quit reading preacher books. Read the Bible. You are the salt. Do you taste good when people are around you as a Christian? How is our fragrance? Radical teaching.